Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Billy had been misbehaving and was sent to his room. After a while, he emerged and informed his mother that he had thought it over and then said a prayer. His mother said, "Fine. If you ask God to help you not misbehave, then he will help you." Billy responded, "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me not misbehave. I asked him to help you to be able to put up with me." Matter where you're at on that. All the parents said amen, and all the kids said amen. Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, "I'm still thankful." You may be seated. Only in America do we celebrate all the things that we're grateful and thankful for at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, only to trample, punch out, cuss out everybody over a 20% off crock pot. Only in America. Black Friday is responsible for, not even including this year, 113 serious injuries where people have had to have hospital stays. 13 people in the last 11 years have died as a result of Black Friday. Walmart workers have been killed and trampled to death. Customers and consumers have been trampled to death. What a terrible way to die. Reaching for the Vizio TV, only to be trampled. We very quickly move from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and if you're like Hobby Lobby, you don't even wait for Thanksgiving. You start Christmas like September 1st. And I've got a friend I went to high school with. His birthday is, I think, September 27th. And so their traditions, they decorate their entire house inside and out on September 27th. They get a full, almost four-month run of Christmas. And it's so easy for us to move past Thanksgiving very quickly and to pause and nod our gratitude and our thanksgiving and our praise to God for all that we have, only to pivot very quickly to say, "All right, God, now I want more stuff." And I'm grateful for Christmas, and I'm grateful for the gifts that I'm able to give and the gifts that I'm able to receive. But at the end of the day, it is to celebrate, amen, the coming of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. But Thanksgiving is not the fourth Thursday in November. It's not just a moment where we sit down in the old school tradition of going around the table and everybody says one thing that they're thankful for. But to be a believer, as we read, Paul said, "In everything give thanks." David said in the Old Testament, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth." And so we're talking about being grateful and living a life of gratitude. Gratitude, thanksgiving, praise, all the words are synonymous. If you live that life, it will change your life because it will keep God where he is supposed to be. It will prioritize him in your life. And when you can praise God in the good and you can praise God in the bad, it announces to God, "I love you not based on your performance, but I love and praise you because you're God." Come on now. We've all been manipulated in life sometimes where people only love us or like us for what we can do for them. But the moment that our performance wanes, the relationship wanes. But I'm in a church field today with people that understand God is good all the time. And the season I'm in might be difficult. And I might be stretched right now in this moment of my life, but God is still good, which means he's still worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor, and all worship. So in the last two sessions, we've talked about the five things that gratitude does, that gratitude gives God an avenue into our lives, number one. Number two, that gratitude keeps God into our life, not jumping in on Sunday at 11 o'clock and jumping out at 12:30, but we continually praise God outside the walls and the doors of this church. That gratitude evicts the adversary. that God and Satan cannot abide in the same space. One of them has to go. So my goal is to praise God into my life and then praise God where he remains in my life. And by thanking God at all times, the devil does not have a stronghold or a foothold in our lives. And the church should say, amen. We talked about gratitude protects our stuff. That God blesses us. And we talk about the favor of God. But you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Comes to take everything that God has blessed us with. But when you praise God, the devil has to go. The Bible says, give the devil no place, no place at all. And so when I praise God, the devil does not have a place to live, abide, or step foot in my life. When I praise God, the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Last week, I love it. I'm going to preach it again for about 20 seconds. The Bible does not say to fight the devil. The Bible says to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, for you to fight the devil, that means you literally grapple with him, and he stays where you are. But when you resist the devil through praise, the Bible says that the devil must flee. And finally, gratitude, number five, increases your capacity. The more grateful you are, the bigger blessings come, the more favor is on your life. But one way to stop the blessing of God is to have a spirit of entitlement like the prodigal son. To say, well, I have it coming to me, and don't you know how much I do, and don't you know how much I give, instead of saying, God, I want to thank you because you didn't have to do what you did. And if you never do anything else, God, you've already done enough. And this morning, as I laid and looked up at the ceiling this morning at 6:30, I said, God, thank you for another day. I know there's some things in my life that I would change right now, but God, I thank you for a fresh opportunity. God, is that fresh mercy that I smell on the stove? God, your grace is sufficient for me. God, I've got peace in the middle of craziness. God, I've got joy in the middle of people that are despondent and depressed. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got two amazing kids. I get to pastor the greatest church in America. I get to live in America, even with all of its problems. God, I just want to thank you. And then as I drove to church, I just began, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. And then my mind always goes to this place. God, I want to thank you for everything you've done that I have no clue that you've done. And I won't know until I get to heaven. When was the last time you thanked God for the things he's done that we didn't know about? That kind of attitude says to God, I love you for you, not just what you've done. I love you for you. And God, I am ready for an increase. God said, they're grateful for what I've done. How would they praise me if I did this? If I took them to this level? And so praise and thanksgiving and gratitude is so important. The book of Colossians shares with us four verses where Paul is encouraging the people in Colossus to be thankful. To me, in Colossians, which is not a very lengthy book, if Paul is mentioning being thankful four times, the people of Colossus had a problem with being thankful. You know, you can get to the place where you're so blessed that you forget where that blessing came from. You forget how far Jesus has brought us. Come on, let's just take a little trip down memory lane. Let's go back 10 years ago. Let's go back to high school prom. Let's go back to what was important to you at 17 and at 21. Let's go back to how you acted at 22, at 21, at your college or university when mama wasn't there. She was still praying for you, but you were way far away. And you think of all that God has done to get us. Let us never forget every beat of our heart, every breath in our lungs came from God. Let us not forget that you used to not have a job, and now you have a great job. You say, well, I don't have a great job. Well, you've got a job, praise God. And a job can be a seed for a great career. You say, well, my body doesn't feel like it used to. Yeah, but you came in today. They either rolled you in or you walked in or you hobbled in, but you're in the house of God. You say, well, I don't have as much money as I like. Well, if you've got 2 cents in your pocket, you're richer than 90% of the world. If you slept with a roof over your head last night, we are a blessed people, and I'm not going to forget. Some of us have moved into brand new homes in 2019. Some of us have stepped into brand new careers in 2019. Some of us have got cancer-free reports in 2019. Some of us got engaged in 2019. Some of us got married in 2019. Some of us, our kids, and we didn't even think we're going to be able to make it through school, graduated in 2019. That kid that everybody gave up on got into college in 2019. Let us not forget what God has done. Paul writes four times, Colossians 1:3. He says, we always thank God. Starting off this letter to Colossians, he said, remember, church, we always thank God. Well, what about when I'm in trouble? Church, we always thank God. Well, what about when trouble comes to my marriage? Church, we always thank God. He reminds us in Colossians 3:15, be thankful. Because I know that after I say we always thank God, that there's always going to be a but, because there's a lot of us that have big buts. And it's but God, but God, but this. I don't think you understand, my situation is different than hers and my situation is different than his. And so he reminds us in Colossians 3:15, be thankful, be grateful. Colossians 3:17, two verses later, he says, give thanks to God. He's talking to a people that have a lot to be thankful for, that are refusing to honor God and thank God. And then I love what he says in Colossians 4:2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and being thankful. Three amazing things here, and thanksgiving is one of those. Devote yourself to pray. Devote yourselves to watch, discern, Holy Spirit, and devote yourselves to praise. Being devoted. When I think of the word devotion, I not only think of a Bible study or a moment, 5 minutes in a day where you take a verse and you break it down and you pray. When I think of devotion, I think of a marriage, that there is a devotion between my wife and myself. That we are devoted one to another, meaning that there is hard work that goes into what we call devotion. Sometimes it's easy to praise God, but sometimes we have to offer what we call a sacrifice of praise. I'm not going to say it about her, I'll say it about me. Sometimes I am so easy for Mandy to love. Most of the time, I am very hard for Mandy to love. But her love doesn't change because she is devoted. And so my praise doesn't change because I am devoted to God. I love this. God never changes, but Brandon does. So for me to be able to communicate with a God that never changes, I've got to offer a praise. Come on, church, that never changes. When I open up my mouth, it doesn't matter if I'm in pain, I praise God. It doesn't matter if I receive the worst news of my life, I praise God. Why? Because I'm offering something that I can give that doesn't change, from a changing vessel to an unchanging God. And when I can offer a perfected praise, a continual praise, a praise and giving thanks at all times, it changes God in me. Doesn't change God, but it changes him in me. Let's go to Luke 17. This is where I've been working towards the last 2 weeks. Luke 17, verse 11, this is the story of the 10 lepers. This is not a parable, this is real life. And it came to pass, as Jesus went into Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Five words at the beginning of this verse that will change your life. How many of you are in the middle of a faith fight? Just raise your hand. There's a few dozen hands that have gone up today. I've got good news for you. Five words, beginning of this verse. And it came to pass. That was a good place for you to reach out, to grab that word and say, all right, Pastor, now you're talking to me. You might be in the middle of uncertainty. You might be in the middle of craziness. You might be in the middle of the biggest attack from the adversary that he's ever waged on you. But I have come to tell you, and it came to pass. Whatever you're dealing with today, you're not always going to deal with. And I just want to declare to you, whatever you're dealing with today is not going to follow you into 2020 if you'll put your praise on and get your praise right and say, God, I know I kind of let you down over the last couple months or couple weeks because I've been wallowing and I've been whining and I've been complaining and I've been murmuring, but I've come to shake off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. And I'm going to praise God not because of what he's done. I'm praising God for what he's about to do. And it came to pass. And it came to pass, verse 12, and as Jesus entered into a certain village, when you hear the word certain, sometimes the Bible says a certain man. Here it says a certain village, a certain place. This is what I love about the word certain. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter when. That what we're about to share, the truth, listen, church, the truth that we're about to share is for anybody at any place. It's important that we understand that it's for anybody at any place, because we're about to be introduced to people who racially had been divided from the Jews. Verse 12, he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. Can we break this down just a little bit? 10 men, yes, they were all men. 10 lepers. Leprosy was what they had. But let's go deeper. These are 10 lives. See, let's not forget, when this altar fills up in a few moments, and we say things like, man, what a move. The altar was packed. Let's not remember an altar pack is made up of individuals that are seeking Jesus, that are building faith, that are putting down roots, that are laying a strong foundation. And so it's one altar, but it can be 100 individuals. And so let us not lump all of these 10 lepers together. These are 10 lepers, 10 men, 10 lives, 10 husbands. 10 marriages, 10 fathers, 10 leaders, 10 different men. These men move into a pack because misery loves company. Their condition has brought them together. Oh my God, that I preach. There's a lot of us that have stayed in the condition we're in because we've chosen to find people with like conditions and like weaknesses instead of surrounding ourselves with Holy Ghost-filled people, with whole people, with healed people. I saw it on Facebook, and I'm paraphrasing, that you got to get healed. If you don't get healed, you're going to bleed on the people that didn't hurt you. And so we get around people. We get around other people that have the same issues we have, and we start commiserating, and we start being miserable together. And what job did you, yeah, I lost my job and I lost my family and I haven't seen my kids in 6 years and my wife, I heard she left me and she's already married to another man and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so these 10 men got together. Now, let me encourage you, when you go through something, don't surround yourself with people that are going through. Let me tell you, there is a difference between surrounding yourself with people that have been through what you're going or are going through what you're going through. I don't want to surround myself with people that are going through and facing the same giant that I'm facing. I want to surround myself with some praise, prayer, faith-filled believers that have been through what I'm going through, so I can say, what did you do to get out of the pit? What did you do? And then they turn to me and they say, well, my praise was a weapon. When I begin to thank God, when I begin to say, God, as long as my heart is beating, the leprosy will not kill me. 10 lepers got together. Check your most recent. Check your favorites on your phone. Who do you call the most? Do they got leprosy? Do they got leprosy in relationships? Oh man, I had a great debate. I love debating. I love debating with young people because I'm always right. At least I feel that way. And so the debate happened in our staff room the other day between a young man who is a spirit-filled, awesome young guy. And this was our debate. Can someone who has no children tell somebody how to raise children? And my answer is absolutely not. And they said, what if they work in a daycare? I said, changing diapers and giving bottles is completely different than raising up a young man or a young woman. Which goes on to the next thing. Quit taking relationship advice from someone who has never been married or they've been married four times. And so the first thing I would have done as a leper is I would have said, you other nine need to go kick rocks. And if you go this way, I'm going to go this way because I'm not going to be a part of the pack mentality. I'm not going to be a part of the company that loves misery. I'm going to separate. And let me tell you something. When you really praise, oh, it's going to separate you from some people. You go to praising God and Living Way down here. I don't know if it was this service or last service, but one of the sweet sisters, I've never seen her praise like this. She came right down here in the front, and she was, I know what she's fighting for, but I've never seen her praise like this. And she started running, and and let me tell you, they were giving her space. Praise will separate you. Praise will give you space so that you can get yours. Praise will give you space. Get rid of the people. There's a lot of people around you that don't need to be around, and they even love Jesus, and they say they love him like you. But when you start praising, and when you start, man, that don't make sense. Why are you praising that hard? Why are you getting so loud? Why are you getting so crazy? 10 men, 10 lepers, 10 lives. Leprosy was not just a sickness that robbed these men of their health. It robbed these men of the abundance of their life. See, it's unlike cancer. It's unlike kidney disease. It's unlike all of these other diseases where when the diagnosis is given, family surrounds you. Family loves on you. We lay hands and we pray for the sick so that they can recover. Families come together. Our family came together to fight back that C word this year from our family, and we sent cancer running for the hills. I saw Brian's family, who's here today. I saw them bind together, and then I saw a church family bind together, and we all gathered around him, and we prayed for him, and we loved him, and we sent him goodie baskets and all of those things. But leprosy was different because once you got leprosy, nobody was allowed near you. Little girls running towards their dads only to be snatched by their mom and say, you can never touch him again. Dad's moving out, robbed of the abundance of their life. The Bible says in verse 12, they stood afar off. There's two reasons why they stood afar off. Number one, because they were lepers and they could not legally approach somebody. And so they had to literally walk around saying, unclean. Unclean, make way, unclean. You say, that's crazy. It is crazy until you realize that a lot of believers do the same thing every day. On Facebook, I'm broke. I don't have enough. He cheated on me again. She left me again. He's nothing but a two-time, and you can fill in the blank. I'm glad I got 2 days off of work because my boss is a, you can fill in the blank. And just like leprosy, we're announcing to the world, stay away from me because what I have is contagious. And then you wonder why you have no friends or you have the wrong friends when you've announced, get away. I don't know what a healthy relationship is. I don't know what is having enough. I don't know what good kids look like. I don't know what a strong marriage resembles. I don't know how to come to church and not cause division and drama. And so we make these statements and we drive people away. The number one reason that they stood afar off from Jesus is because of their condition. The number two reason is because they were Samaritans, at least one. The one who comes back to thank God was a Samaritan, and there was a racial division between Samaritans and between Jews. And so they stood afar off and lifted their voice. There's a lot of lies the enemy wants to tell you, and every lie the enemy tells you is to put distance between you and your answer, Jesus Christ. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, and listen to what they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who he was. Not only did they know who he was, they proclaimed what they said, what the title they gave him proclaimed who he was to them. We're not allowed in the synagogue. We're not allowed in the temple, but Jesus, you're our master. have mercy on us. They identified who their request was directed to. Verse 14. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Go show yourselves to the priest. Not only was it a religious act, because they literally had to go in quarantine, and they had to be examined by the priest before they could be let back into society. But Jesus, I believe, was really saying is, go show yourselves to the people who removed you from society, because you're coming back. After your appointment with me, after our intersection, you're coming back. The Bible says this, and it came to pass. There are those five words again. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Faith in action, church. Praise is faith in action. Because a lot of my praise is not for what he's done, it's for what he's about to do. It's to draw him into my life. It's living a life of gratitude and gratefulness, because when I praise God, he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3, and so I praise God to get him to show up. They lifted their voice to get Jesus to stop so that they could have this moment with Jesus. And so faith in action, as you move, as you praise, as you faith, as you worship, as you serve, as you give, as you pray, as you declare, as you prophesy, as you love, you are being healed. You are healed at the rate you move. Move slow, the healing process is slowed down. Praise God only in the good times. God shows up and the process is very slow, because instead of working in our lives all day, every day, 365 days a year, he only gets an hour and a half of our time on Sundays. And so it takes him 52 weeks to get 2 days worth of time with us. But for those of us that love Jesus every day and all day, for those of us that have devoted our lives to him, we're like this leper that comes back. We're saying, God, I know from whom all blessings flow. I know if it wasn't for you, Jesus, I couldn't have tied my shoes today. I know if it wasn't for you, Jesus, I wouldn't be able to stay married, keep a job, stay alive for that matter, God. I thank you. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Let me just preach this for about 45 seconds. 10 men are healed, not by the touch of Jesus, which that excites me, because Jesus has never physically touched me, but his word has touched me. 10 men, never been touched by Jesus. Jesus did not heal them by his touch. He healed them by his voice. You are healed. Go now and show yourselves to the priest. 10 men get up. They know what Jesus has done. They know his track record, which is why they called him Jesus and Master. Jesus has now said, you're healed. Go and show yourselves to the priest. What happens when Jesus says you're healed and you look down and you're still not healed? Do you say, you liar? Or do you say, my healing is locked into my obedience? And so 10 men on their knees looked down, still missing toes, looked at each other, still missing ears. Part of their noses have been eaten away. Their faces have been ravaged by this disease. And Jesus has claimed them healed. And they look around and they don't see any evidence of healing. But when one man stands up, an ear forms. When another man takes one step, toes start popping back out. And they get excited on the way to see the priest, because the faster they go, the faster their body begins to regenerate. The quicker they become obedient, the blessing and the miracle starts happening in their lives. But the problem is they get so infatuated with the process of the miracle, they forget the person of the miracle, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so 10 are at an all-out sprint to show themselves to the priest, and then one man looks down and he says, the only way that this is possible is the man who we called, the Jesus that we called out to, has done this. And the Bible says that he turned around to give thanks. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. You're too loud at Living Way. Blame the leper. Don't blame us. Verse 16, and the Bible says, make a joyful noise. So I've never heard anybody win the lottery like this. Yes. Verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Got a couple more points I want to make real quick. Jesus never touched them. Isn't it amazing that we call this leper the 10th leper? In my book, he's not the 10th leper. He's the first leper. Because if I'm giving lepers titles, I'm giving the one that came back, that lived a life of gratitude, that came back and said, God, the person of this miracle is Jesus Christ, and I thank you that you've done the miracle, but I thank you, Jesus, for stopping long enough to make a declaration of healing over my life. The first leper was laying at the feet of Jesus. Jesus heals them, and they are a few yards away. The thankful, the praise, and he is at the foot of Jesus. If I could say it like this, and you praisers will understand what I'm talking about, praise closes the gaps of your life. When it seems like Jesus is far away, if you'll thank him, if you'll praise him, if you'll show some gratefulness and gratitude, you might have been 100 yards away when he declared your healing, but now when you thank him and you praise him, you look up and you see the feet of Jesus right in your face. You look up and God is standing right in the middle of your praise. Praise not only closes the gap, praise gives you priority. I hate with a passion waiting in line. When I go to Disney World, I get fast passes. If I don't have a fast pass for a certain ride, I will go drink an icy for 2.5 hours, and I will wait on Mandy and Tyler and Jaden to ride their ride, and I will play Clash of Clans, Words with Friends, something on my phone, because I'm not waiting in line. Some of us are tired of waiting on God. Praise gives you priority. I love flying when I have priority boarding, because I show up late. Please get to the airport 2 hours before. I get there about 35 minutes, and I just walk past everybody. And when I'm walking past them, I'm just like, priority. Praise gives you priority. When you praise God, I know there's a lot going on in the Middle East, but God shows up at your house. God shows up at your praise. 9 men are running towards the priests. 1 man is laying at the feet of the high priest, praising Jesus, thanking Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, where are the other 9? Were there not 10 healed, where are the other 9? Were there not 10 clean, where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give to God the glory save this stranger. Verse 19, and he said unto him, and I'm done with this, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. There is a difference, stand on your feet, between healed and whole. There is a difference between being healthy and living the abundant life that God has given. Remember, all 10 of them said, Jesus, Master. John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. The first 9, the last 9 said, Jesus, Master. He said, all right, I'm going to clean you up. This leprosy, it's gone. You're going to spend eternity with me. But to the one, he said, they received that eternal life and that momentary gratification of their health and healing in this moment. But he said, you, sir, because of your grateful gratitude, thanking spirit, because you took the time in the middle of everything to come back and thank me, he said, I'm making you whole. I'm making you whole. Can I just share, give me 25 seconds of just Brandon here. Some men went back to their homes to find out that their families had moved on. There's a new truck in the driveway. The woman said, I can't wait on you for 10 years. You might never get healed. She moved on. But the one that thanked God, he said, I'm bringing you restoration. Your wife's waiting on you. Your job's waiting on you. Your kids have grown up, but that little boy looks just like you and he needs a dad. I'm going to send you back to that house. That little girl needs a strong man in her life, and she needs an illustration of the kind of husband that she needs, and she's going to find it in her dad. I'm going to send you back. You remember when you used to serve in the synagogue and in the temple? I'm going to give you that position back. You can still go show yourselves to the priest, but I'm going to tell you, I've got so much more for you than just healing you. I want to make you whole. Four people in this altar. I know all four of them. Fighting faith. Fighting a long time for faith. God's doing great things. At Dubani, fighting faith. 2019 has been a little tough. Loss, things happening. God said, wholeness. Wholeness. God's going to make you whole. Here, they're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. I want to ask this question before we begin praying. The greatest answer that you will ever give to this question of are you sure you're going to heaven is yes. No matter what I'm facing, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. If you cannot say that you're sure, that you're sure, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, I've got a spot right here by my friend, Brother Kevin. We're going to lead you to Jesus Christ today. He's the only way to get to heaven. He's the only way to get to heaven. And all you've got to do to be saved is call on the name of the Lord, Jesus, Master. He hears you. He will heal you. And for those of us that live a life of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving, He will make us whole again. If you're missing any part of your life, I want to encourage you. If you've got something going on in your family, marriage, job, mind, ministry, money, career, get to this altar. Let's pray. If you're in this place today and you say, Pastor, I'm in a good place, I need you to help us pray. Stretch your hands forward and begin to help us pray. Begin to help us.